This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hey guys, thank you so much for joining for this final episode of the Igniting Your Sexual Instinct series. Today, I'm so grateful to be joined by occupational therapist Renee Fayek. As you may know, I love when we get to talk to an OT about the sensory issues that are in every marriage, sometimes taking over, but also today specifically to do a bit of troubleshooting across the month with you as we look at all the different ways that couples can sort of fall apart through the seasons of each week. And so just hang in here as we get ready to really explore with Renee. And it's a beautiful transition episode as well out of the series because she also guides us on ways just to be practical across the month. So if you and your spouse own a business together, learning the rhythms that might be best, oh my gosh, it's been so helpful in learning the time when you guys might just be like, let's rest and dream or let's go, it's go time. This is so helpful. You can plan vacations around this. You can plan your intimacy life. You can plan your work. So cool. And also, like we all know, sometimes we just have to leave it up to like, all right, let every day figure itself out. But with women, you truly do have this extra option of planning things. And so I want to give a bit of spiral education here with an expert on the topic and also allow us a chance to really reflect just for a moment before she comes on so that you know we have a bunch of episodes just before this one that can help you with a lot of other troubleshooting. We took care of our Enneagram 1-5 spaces with a lot of research and goodness and attraction. And now we're moving into that 6th space, but we've also looked at that 7, 8, 9 space when we talked about fun and not having power struggles and bringing peace and joy to your life in the bedroom as a married couple. So today we're coming back to 6. We missed that one a bit and we did some, but we missed this bigger piece around just how to make sure that you guys are tracking together through the month. So when you leave this episode, I hope the one thing you'll take can surround this so that you can be able to say to yourself, okay, we have finally really learned something huge and we're not letting it go. So thank you for hanging in. This is, I promise, a really good spiral, but also a new lens of education as well. So I hope you're doing well this week. We just went through a huge amount of starting our shows with soccer game and Hannah's preschool recital and also Melody's solo for her beautiful theater. And Jack was in a theater piece with her. And then she went into a dance company presentation and this guy's was all in one day. So I won't even tell you all the surrounding day things, but suffice it to say, I know some of you have entered into that busy season, and I want you to remember to pace yourselves. We came home in the middle of all that. We had to take a little rest and nap, especially because Wes and I were also in a tiny end piece of one of the productions, which was so fun. But it was really precious to be able to say, we are having a great day, but it's not going to be a great day if we don't allow for a healthy rhythm. So make sure you allow yourself some of that if you are like that. And I know others are too, because Dr. Holly Oxlander was really bright on Instagram the other day when I saw that she said like April and May are just huge months in the college world too as a professor. And so she was just getting her ducks in a row to say, don't forget, you're going to have to say no a lot to say yes to the things you need to say yes to. So reminder and permission for that as we're perhaps many of us walking through that, as well as let's stay clean and focused on our work so that we can do beautiful work together because we're getting these pieces of rest and also not forgetting the intimacy piece together so that we can stay connected with our spouse. So, okay, let's bring Renee on and don't forget to check all the show notes for everything she's sharing with us today. Renee, thank you so much for coming on the E&M pod today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, I have already adored talking to you guys. She is an OT with so much expertise. And I am so excited, Renee, that you have agreed to talk to us about relationships and business with our cycles. This is such a gift. Thank you so much. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course. I am an occupational therapist, like you said. My area of specialty is actually in the NICU, so working with itty bitty little babies. But I have done that on the part time on the side, as well as building my business, really helping women use their body, learn about their body, learn to trust their body, and predominantly their menstrual cycle, and seeing how that really impacts the way women work and how we show up and how we think differently and how we interact and communicate differently. Like it really impacts everything. It's like the foundation, like the hardware in the background of our body running all the time, and yet it's something that most women don't know about. So that is now what I do. I am a mom of three. I almost said a mom of two. I'm like, who am I forgetting? But mom of three, and have tons of stuff going. Like, I am very busy. And so that is one of the things I feel like a lot of women come to me about is they have these big goals, they have big dreams, they want to achieve big things, but it doesn't feel like there's enough time in the day to do it all. Like, there's without feeling like we're just run ragged. And so that is really what I help women do is like, how do we use your cycle? Your menstrual cycle in your body to be able to work with your body so that you can do all those things that you really want to do. And, you know, sometimes like certain seasons, like right now, baseball season, oh my gosh, like I have multiple kids in baseball and I don't know. I don't know if everybody else's baseball season is like this too, but I'm like 5 days a week of baseball. I'm like, you'll find me for the next few months at the baseball field, like literally. So
Oh my
anyway.
gosh, so if we need any help, we'll have to chase you down and meet you right where you're at. But you're
Yeah,
having
I'll be
a
at the baseball field. I've
blast.
actually taken my laptop with me to the baseball practices and things because I'm like, I am literally here for hours of the week. And, you know, baseball games, like your kid's up to bat once or twice or whatever. Like it's, there's a lot going on of, and a lot of just sitting there. So there's been a couple times I'm like, I'm just gonna bring my laptop, even if I don't get anything done, if I just write an email or two. But yes,
True.
I'm oftentimes working from the baseball field.
Yes, and that is so normalizing. One thing we love being on this podcast is just real. And so just allowing us as parents to know that it's okay to feel like you are not just a mom and
Yeah.
that you also have a career. And that is so important. Some of us don't, but many of us do. And so just to
Yeah.
hear, yes, I do that. And I am totally within my balance because I'm also a caring parent. It's
Yeah.
not an either or. And so I
Yes.
love that. Thank you. And I'm
Yeah.
doing that with you at dance, at theater, at soccer. And so I am 100% with you. I know there's people out there who are like, I don't have kids, but I'm doing that with you guys as I get my work done and also study. So
Yeah.
today we're also talking about juggling relationships and business. So we get it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you and your hubby. I know you talked to me about being in the body space as an
Yeah.
Enneagram, perfect job for you. But anything about how you and your hubby met or a little bit about his personality type and yours both always just helps our audience to connect with you.
Okay, this is fun. Well, let's see. My husband and I had met when I was in high school. So I was only 17. So we've been together since I was 17. I'm now, this week is my birthday.
Happy
So let me think.
birthday.
Yeah, I will be 39. So
Awesome.
what is the math? Well,
You're almost 20, guys,
22
or a
years?
little over 22. Happy
22 years, I think. Yeah. So
birthday.
we've been together for 22 years. He is, and I are very opposite in a lot of different ways. So if I am the fire, he's the grounding. If I'm the inspiration, he's the execution. He's like, we're very opposite in a lot of ways. And I think that that's really helped us over time because I think it's helped. Like for instance, I got this idea. We've talked about it for years of wanting to do like a road trip and just like live on a in a trailer and see the country. And it was one of those dreams, you know, and it's like out there in the background. And then I'm the one that's like, okay, let's do it. Like, I want to do this. Like, let's make it happen. Like, let's actually do this. And then I will go all in on researching and picking. I get the excitement phase started. And then when the excitement wears off of like all the planning and all the details, like I'm not a details person. So when the excitement part turns into details and actual strategy and execution, that's when he comes in and he takes over. Whoa. So we have a little bit of a joke that about that, like I get projects started and then he has to finish them, but it works so well for us. So yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And that we were chatting before we got on about 9-wing-8 with some 7. I love tri-type because similar to Myers-Briggs, you get a little bit more than just this one temperament. And I can hear that part of you that's like the starter, but like you said, just needing him to come along and say, if I agree with this project, if I'm in on it too, let's fine tune it. That's beautiful. Sometimes people say that's feminine versus masculine energy too. And so tell me, what's his name? What does he do for work?
Yeah. His name is Joe. He's actually a project engineer working for a company that does like public transport. So like different. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like very, very methodical, very detail oriented.
Yeah.
And then on my side, I'm like, so body. And now that you mentioned that, like it is very masculine, feminine. Like I'm like the flowy creative, like let's get things going. And he's like, this is how we have to actually spreadsheet it out. This is how we have to make the details. So
And that's so cool that, yes, we know there are snags that come over 22 years, et cetera, but there's these beautiful pieces of light that emerge when you start to do what you're doing, which is the healthy narration. That's the most powerful thing we can do in marriage. So for listeners out there who are like, we're opposites attract, that's hard. Like, remember what Renee is doing. And also she's strategically scheduling, which we're going to talk about soon too. But how does that strategically scheduling when we have our menstrual cycles and all seasons of marriage and life, how does that help us to become more empowered in our day-to-day? Let's just start there with a broad question we can fine tune later.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is understanding that as women and men, that we are very different. So that idea that men and women are so different, we are so opposite. Yeah. Like, how do we even exist together type of deal?
Yes.
Versus this idea of like, we are different, but we're complementary. So men have testosterone and testosterone functions in this like 24-hour rhythm. Mm-hmm. Women have a 28-day rhythm. So progesterone and estrogen have a different dance throughout the month than men having testosterone over and over and over again. Women have estrogen in one half and progesterone in the other half. And so when we look at how those hormones really impact and shape everything. There's a lot of new research coming out around it, which is beautiful and amazing. But there are some new MRI studies, even just around the brain of women and how different parts of our brain are activated at different times of the month. So when you have those feelings of like, oh my gosh, I was feeling so on top of it and I was feeling so great and I was feeling like I could get everything done and now I feel like I'm falling apart and the world is ending.
Yeah.
That is literally happening because of these changes inside of our brain. Mm-hmm. And so one, I think it can give just so much permission to know that and understand that and lean into that. And then two, it helps us become very strategic on how we're communicating, when we're communicating, what we're talking about, when we're working, what we're doing, how we're putting things together instead of really what we've been kind of taught is to function in that 24-hour rhythm. So it's great. Men can be that stable 24-hour rhythm every single day. They operate like the sun, right? The sun has that 24-hour rhythm, but women, we operate more in alignment with that moon cycle and that rhythm of the monthly moon. And I think for me, it has just made so much sense and it's made such a huge difference in the way I work. And now looking back at it, I can see those moments. Like there's a couple moments of like early childhood mom years. I can remember getting so angry at my husband. I don't even remember what it was about, but I can remember just like viscerally, like so angry that I like picked up the shoe off my foot and I threw it at him. And he was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you, did you just throw a shoe at me? And I'm like, yes, I did. And I'm so angry. And I like stormed out of the house, you know, or those other moments when I wanted to walk away from it all. I don't want to be a mom anymore. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And now looking back at it, I can see that those were very hormonally based moments. It wasn't just the fight. It wasn't just the moment. It was knowing how my body was perceiving all of that and how it was taking all of it on. And so not to give this like permission that we're just going to be hormonally raging all the time. It's actually the opposite. It's the opposite. When we start to understand what's happening with our bodies, we're much more attuned to it. Yeah. We can actually support it in a much better way that I don't have those raging fits much anymore. Like I don't, there's still moments that I can get overwhelmed and flustered, but I have a much better gauge on what's happening and where I'm at and what's going on. So I can help modify it before it gets to that place where I'm like exploding again. I mean, not to admit, like I still have those moments every so often, but yes.
Oh my gosh. We all get that. And everyone listening here watching, they're like body type energy. Like she has big energy. Like if she has some 9 wing 8 plus type 7, which is already an exuberant, enthusiastic type, like we know what goes up must come down. But you're saying it's so much more tragic when we don't own our systems and the way our bodies are wired, and you're not blaming anyone. I hear you saying, and I've been seeing this as well, studies are very recent on women, right? So finally getting the attention in studies, and you're realizing there is a reason for this. And so when the husbands come to me with their wives and say like, this is scary, and I feel like this is only us, you're giving us a resounding, this is everybody, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, women in general just operate differently than men. And I think that for a long time, there's been such a stigma and shame around it. It's like, oh, it's Shark Week, or it's, you know, her moody time of the week or the month or whatever. And there's so much like there's, if men and women, there's so much stigma around the period. There just, there is, like, nobody wants to really talk about it. It's kind of something we've kept hidden. We keep a secret, like just, I mean, maybe not every person, but just society as a whole, that is really kind of where it's been.
Yes.
Is that it's something we don't talk about. We keep ashamed. We keep hidden. We don't, you know, whatever. And so it and then all these labels of negativity around it. Like it makes her a horrible person. She's a moody person. She's, you know, all these things that it doesn't have a very nice conversation around it. And so what I really want to do is like open up the conversation that one, your period is just one part of your menstrual cycle. Like your menstrual cycle isn't the entire month. It's the entire part of you. Yeah. So your period is just like the encore. It's just the, cleansing at the end of it, but everything that's happening throughout the month is impacting you. So those really high moments, those moments that you feel really sexy and you feel really confident and you feel really great.
Yeah.
That's your menstrual cycle too. Like they're all a part of it. It's all a part of you. It's not this one week of the month. You're just a horrible moody person. It's about the whole month. And how do we play with that dance of who you are the whole month and support it so that it doesn't have these massive extremes? Typically, I see the massive extremes happening for women that are really out of alignment with their cycle and their body.
Oh my gosh. So they're just sort of charging through. It doesn't matter when it is. Yes. They do the same kind of rhythm, same kind of fitness, same kind of eating. And you're saying, even scheduling. What do you usually recommend? And I've been loving your emails, by the way. So of course, that's all in the show notes, guys. But tell us on a starter level, what do you recommend when people are feeling that disarray? When they're like, I'm all over, my marriage is all over, my work is all over, I can't catch a break or a rhythm.
Yeah. Well, first off, I feel like most women are not really tracking their cycle. So some women are actually tracking their period, and that's great.
Yeah.
The other counterpart would be your ovulation. So like having the awareness of where those two things are is going to give you one really great insight into what is actually happening inside your body. It's going to make you a better advocate for your health, right? It's a lot of times, like we talked about, like the research is not there for women. It's coming, but it's not there yet.
Yeah.
And so there's not a lot of really great support for women's health issues. Birth control is the number one thing that you're going to get prescribed if you go to the doctor with any sort of irregularities or any sort of whatever. It's just going to be straight up going to birth control most of the time. Yeah. And that's not the answer. That's not always the answer. And so the more informed we can be of what's happening inside of our bodies, the more effective we're going to be able to advocate. So tracking your ovulation, tracking your period. And one of the questions I ask my clients every single day, or like I tell them to ask themselves every day, is what does my body need today? And just getting really good at asking yourself what your body needs, because so much of our world is focused on hyperstimulation. So like, as you talked about, like as an OT, like I come from a space of working with kids that have sensory processing issues and helping them learn how to regulate. And what I'm seeing and my prediction going forward is that we're already seeing it, more adults being diagnosed with ADHD, more adults being diagnosed with all these things, which is possible, right? I do believe that there are a lot of
neurodivergent things.
Yes. However, I do think that a lot of it is that we have so much hyperstimulation today that we don't know how to handle it. Like our brains don't know how to comprehend it. And so our generation and the generation coming up after us really need the skills to know how do we regulate our bodies and how do we regulate our brains and like how do we support our nervous systems, unlike any other generation that has ever had before. And so I think that that's a whole nother conversation
And plus for marriage, OTs and marriage, because it's when by the time I get them 30 years later, they are so dysregulated and they're still having sensory processing issues. So like we don't see many OTs who are marriage OTs, but I feel like that's a whole field that needs to come too, because I feel like a lot of what we do in marriage is we learn to sensory integrate and we're finally doing some somatic work. So I'm very excited that you've taken this time with us today.
So I mean, I think that there's so many, like learning to listen to our bodies and learning to know when we're in that hyperstimulated state and when we're not, and when we need to regulate up or down, like in the OT world, in that space of sensory regulation, we talk about like a just right zone and how we help kids or adults function in that just right zone. And, you know, a lot of adults are using things like coffee when they're in that below the just right zone. They're like, I'm low on energy. I'm not feeling great. I need to bring myself up. So they go to like a stimulant or something to come up. Or when we've reached that threshold and we trigger at the top and we blow a fuse and we're yelling and screaming, it's like, sometimes I think what it is like as we're moving forward and we have so much sensory stimulation and so much coming at us and so much noise and we have social media and we have, our lives are so busy that we don't, we're not equipped with these tools to keep us in that just right zone. And so that is a foundation. That's where I was going. Like asking yourself, like, what does my body need today? And start learning that language of your body, learning to understand like, is my body feeling really stressed? Is my body feeling like grounded? Am I feeling a little bit flighty? Am I feeling a little bit like I need some space? Like, what do I really need? And getting really good, starting to ask that question.
That is so key because here is a thinking type. What I'm always telling people is part of that, where I'm always reminding these listeners and myself, make sure you balance, get body, mind, and heart every day as well as soul. But what you're reminding us is of the details here. And that is maybe your husband's glow over you too. Like you said, he's the detail person. Well, I'm going to say you are here too. You're telling us like, I know your work too. And you get us down to basal temperatures. Like for people who want to dive deep with her, she does detailed work. But even here, this is a detail we can pick up on is it's not just balancing, it's listening. It's being in tune with your body, because even if you went about your day, of course, over these weeks, and you just kept balancing mind, body, heart, you're going to come up short if you're not really listening to the body, right?
Exactly. Because we could be, and I have a friend of mine who does work in the area of like self-care, and she talks about different self-care buckets. And a lot of times what we do, or like energy buckets, is that as people were like, I'm short on energy, like I don't feel like I have energy, right?
Yeah.
And so they just, they do all these things to help fill maybe a physical energy bucket, but maybe it's not actually even physical energy. Maybe it's mental energy. Maybe it's emotional energy. Maybe it's relationship energy. Maybe it's, you know, creative energy. Like there's these different parts of who we are that if we're trying to fill a bucket, that's not the one that's empty. Yeah. There's no amount of like time, like rest. Like I look at that one too. It's like, people are like, I just need to sleep more. Or I just need to rest more. And they fill up on this rest bucket, but they still feel empty. And it's because they're filling up the wrong bucket. So when we start to look at like, we are multidimensional people, there's different parts of us, there's different needs that we have as human beings, which I actually believe that the cycle, when we lean into it, really helps women balance exactly all of the needs that they have. Because each phase gives us time for rest. It gives us time for purpose, like in production and creating fulfillment. There's time for connection and communication and with other people. And then there's a time for reflection and introspection and creating thing for us. And so each one of the different phases helps us feel that balance that we feel like sometimes we're missing when we're just charging through, like you said, like men, they function in that 24-hour rhythm too.
Okay. And this is so good for guys to be listening to also, because now they're hearing this is not just your person, this
yes.
everybody. And so leaning in and learning these systems is a great place for you guys to invest your time. And I know there's going to be more learning along the way, but you've already got a lot for us, Renee. What is something that you could sort of highlight for us about each of these phases when it comes to relationships and business? Just maybe you say, and I know you do, but I'll let you say it, like different parts, like you said, for reflection versus getting really active. Do you have any basic cycle you could walk us through?
Yeah, for sure. So the first part of the cycle, I always start with like day one of bleed. So that would be the menstrual phase. I like to call that the recharge phase. Okay. So thinking about it like, you know, a Tesla or something else, like a slingshot, right? I was talking about the slingshot that we need that rest portion in order to really produce really well and function really great in that next phase. So this is the phase when woman actually feels the most like energetically drained, like physically. She's losing a lot of blood, which loses a lot of iron, and iron is really helpful for helping us feel really energized. And so there's a lot of pieces physiologically why we feel drained.
Yes.
But it's also the most intuitive time. So it's the most like, if a woman is allowed the space to actually rest and cut the noise from society and social media and things like that, she actually can become the most grounded and the most assured of herself and the most clear on where she's going and what she's creating and what she's doing and how she's moving throughout the month. And so it can be a really, really incredibly powerful time to allow that space. And I know a lot of times it goes to this place of like, oh, I'm just going to Netflix binge and whatever, but it's like, those things aren't always the thing that are recharging us. They may numb us out for a short period of time, but like in that phase, what do you actually need to restore? What do you need to feel recharged? Like those buckets we just talked about, like what buckets are missing that you need? Maybe it's going for a hike. Maybe it's going to the beach. Maybe it's a lot of times I go to nature, like nature is huge for that. So what are those things that are going to help you recharge? Then you move into as estrogen starts to climb, women start to feel really powerful. They feel ready to take action, maybe on some of those ideas they came up with. They're ready to check off the to-do list. It's about like, let's go, let's get things done. Let's get things moving. Let's big momentum. And so I call that the accelerate phase, because it's like, here we go. So like, think about it like that Tesla that just recharged. It's got incredible power and now it's ready to go. Then we get to the top of that estrogen peak. That is right around the time of ovulation. And so women are going to feel the most beautiful. They're going to feel the most radiant. They're going to feel the most magnetic. They're going to feel the most like libido is going to be the highest, like all of that. Like there's a lot of research still too coming out about like women's face actually changes, like their glow changes. Like there's so much, like their smell changes, and it's like on a subconscious level, like, you know, you're not sitting there being like, you smell different, but it's like,
oh, it's different though.
There's signals that are signaling to the brain, you know, like we were just talking about that the other day. Somebody's cat or dog went into heat, and they were like talking about like every dog and male dog in the neighborhood is going to be like at your door, you know?
Yes.
We're not quite that extreme, but it kind of has that same like mammal sort of response that like we're trying to make a baby. Like that's our root, like desire, not desire, but like,
as humans.
Yeah. And then after that ovulation, then estrogen dips and progesterone picks up, and progesterone feels very different than estrogen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So while estrogen felt very big and great and outward, and like we can have these great conversations and we can go have these fun adventures and we can do all these amazing things, progesterone has more of this like retreat. If we were to classify it like as an outer phase of the month and an inner phase, this is the time when that person needs a little bit more of like the introverted part of them needs nourishment. Like the extroverted part has gotten their time, and now the introverted part of them needs that inner, like, I want to be kind of behind the, like for me, I'm like, I work behind the computer. I don't want to be on the camera. I don't want to record any reels. you might feel a little bit more emotional and a little bit more triggered. Yeah. Things can go a little bit more awry. This is usually the week when I feel overwhelmed or more easily. Me too.
This
last week with my kids, I'm like, oh my gosh, why can you not pick up your stuff? Why am I the only one around here like picking up stuff? So you might notice like this phase, all those little things like the spouse not taking out the trash or they're not picking up their shoes.
I'm in that phase this morning. And I literally was like to my kids, I go, seriously? I was like, who left it? I didn't say it. I go, this box of animal crackers was left out all night and it wasn't even left. And then I go, it might have been me.
But yes, it's like all those little irritations.
Yeah, it was like so irritating.
Yes. This is when they like populate up and you're like, you may have tolerated them a week or so ago, right? Like a week or so ago, you might've been like, whatever, they're not picking up their stuff here. I'm going to just help put it in the room or like, whatever. It's no big deal. But this is the week when it's like, OMG, I'm tired of doing it all on my own. I'm like tired of doing this. And so that's like that moment where it's just like, I can't do it anymore. So it can, this is the week into that menstrual phase that a lot of stigma comes around because it can, you can get really easily triggered and really irritable and like really moody, but it also, let's start to maybe reframe that a little bit. It's a really powerful time. So in the work that I do, I help women really start to release limiting beliefs and blocks and things that are keeping them stuck, or really understanding what are those subconscious thoughts that are driving their behavior. Oh, and this can be a really, really powerful time to really uncover what those are. So like looking at a relationship.
Yeah.
If the woman is like freaking out about something towards their spouse, their partner, it may not even be the partner's problem. Like it's not even like him in the first place. It may be something that happened to her when she was 7 years old. And it's that emotional subconscious programming that's happening, that's replaying out and out. And it's, but he's being the target of it. Yeah. So like in this phase, when we see that, we understand that, and we can look at like, okay, I am freaking out about the animal crackers.
Right.
Like, why am I freaking out about the animal crackers? Like, what's going on? Like, is it really the animal crackers or is it something else? And then when we start to ask questions about those triggers, or we start asking questions about the reactions or the thoughts, then we get down to the root cause of what's actually happening. That's what creates the healing. And that's what drives the change that we want to go forward. So that next month, it may not be the animal crackers, it might be the socks, but we can get back to like, okay, the socks has a whole different root cause. Like there's something else there.
Right. And thankfully I was able with that one, because of the kind of work I'm doing, to finally be able to say, maybe it was me. And we all kind of let out this little like relief sigh, like we're okay. Like we're having a great day. This is not a big deal. But like you said, there's roots there. There's roots from my childhood. There's roots from my marriage, whatever it is, just allowing it to be okay in this moment, keeping to this issue though.
I'm in my recharge phase. This is not a great time for being on camera, right? Like neither of us are in a great time to do it, but we still can.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that this, like, as you bring this up, it's a great way to segue it, is that like many women will now start taking, they'll be like, well, I'm in this phase of my cycle. Like I can't do any of these things, or I can't, they start to use their cycle as this limiting factor.
Okay.
And I feel like it's amazing. Like I feel the opposite. So I think that women can do anything they want to do in any phase of their cycle, right? I'm not coming to people and be like, oh, now in the corporate world, we have to give every woman the week of her period off. Like, would that be amazing? Yeah, sure. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm not coming in there and saying like women can't work on their periods. Like you and I are both testaments, like recording this at a not a great time.
Right.
We can still do it. It just may not be as best. Like we may be not performing as best as we would had we waited 2 weeks and done this in 2 weeks.
Right.
Like it's just the way the schedule fell and the way things work. And so honoring that, like understanding that, like you and I talked about that. I'm like, I only have two things on my calendar today.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm taking care of myself in that way. So it may not look like rewriting everything that we're doing in our lives. There are still going to be basketball practices. There's still going to be soccer games. Like we still have to get the kids to school. Mm-hmm. We still have to go to a 9 to 5. Like we still have all these things that life runs.
Right.
that we can't just be like, well, this is my week of my period. I'm not doing any of it. See you later. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
But when we know where we're at and what's happening, we can make small modifications. Like, yes. I have a giant pile of laundry on my couch today. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just going to let it sit there. Like, I'm not going to worry about it. Like, yeah. I'll get to it.
Bug me a little, but I'll get it later.
Yes. And so just giving yourself the permission of being like, okay, this is not the week. Like, it would be better for me to go sit in the massage chair or go do something else than worry about the laundry this week. The laundry will be fine. And so it's just understanding those small little micro tweaks that we could shift and change.
And it's such a blessing to be able to say, I'm allowed to do that if I need to take a different view of life this week. And
yes.
So you're really allowing people to still be part of their rhythms with their families, but also to, when they can, when it's practical, to take that time away. I love it. So this is also new to me in that everyone talks about the first week with the period as being that week where we're super energized. So anyway, I'm just glad to hear you honor something that at least has been very intuitive in my home, where my husband's always saying, as a medical provider, you need your iron this week. And I'm like, oh, why am I tired? It's day three or four of my cycle and I'm tired. And so you're reminding us all that that is a week where we get tired. So thank you. Even though it's week one, I wanted to know how that worked, because people are always like, that's week one and you're supposed to be so energized.
Yeah. I mean, some women do. And I think that's like, everybody's cycle's different too, right? Like everybody's body's different. Like, I'm a firm believer. There's no diet that's best for everybody. There's no, you know, sleep pattern that's best for everybody. There's not one right way. Everybody's body's a little bit different. So I do work with some women who get like a heavy, heavy, heavy bleed on like day one and two. And then they're like, bing, I'm ready to go. I'm back to normal. Yeah. Others have this like slow introduction, and then it's like days four, five, six that are a little bit heavier and harder. Yeah. So it's really about learning and understanding, like, what is your rhythm? Mm. What is something that's happening maybe because of your living outside of that rhythm, right? Like, you're not honoring the rhythm. Can we then sometimes, like, even just leaning into it, those extremes minimize or things shift, symptoms shift. And then understanding that, and then starting to lean into what is it that's happening for your rhythm. And I changed the way I communicate. So in certain phases, I'll be like, you know what? Even to the kids, I'm like, mom can't handle this right now. Yeah. I need some space. Like, please, I'm going to go out in the backyard and I'm going to just sit for 10 minutes. Like, please just let me and honor the space that I need so that I can come in and just be a little bit more calm or be a little bit more grounded. Or so I think that there's communication that you can do that doesn't have to revolve around the cycle.
Yeah.
But for me, I know it does, because I'm like, I know right now, like, I do not have the capacity for this. Like, I need some space, or I need XYZ. Mm-hmm. And so it's like just being okay communicating those and knowing that we can do that.
Mm, thank you. Yeah. And there's many listeners who are private and would not want to share that with everybody. And whereas my husband's a medical provider, he does not mind. He wants to know every little detail.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. And I just love that you normalize that right now. Like, it's okay if you're like, I don't want my kids and husband to know every little detail. Whereas others, I have their spouses with me doing the coaching and we're tracking together as husband and wives. So I think that's really up to the couple's personalities. Mm-hmm. So I love nuancing it that way. But tell me, when it comes to the sexual cycles, would you say it's the same way? Like, some couples love to have period sex. Other couples like to really go for it, obviously, during ovulation. Do you feel like that also differs just for every couple, probably, just like the whole period cycle does?
Yeah, I think I honestly do. Cause I've had clients that are like, they notice like 1 week is the only time they want to be with their partner.
Yeah.
And then others, like you said, it varies. So I do think it really does vary. And I think communicating that there's variations in that, that there may be 1 week that you're way more attracted to your partner. And then other weeks when you just need some space and you don't want to be touched. Like, I mean, I'm not a really big physical touch person anyway, but like, so my husband will come, he wants to like snuggle and whatever in bed. And I'm like, get off. I cannot sleep. Like, please get off. I cannot fall asleep.
Yeah.
So, but there's certain phases where I'm like, okay, I could fall asleep with him, but I don't know. I'm like one of those people, like, he twitches or moves while he's sleeping. I'm like, I cannot fall asleep. So I like lay there with my eyes open being like, go to sleep. Just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, my body is just touched out. Like, I don't want a kid touching me. I don't want my husband touching me. I don't want anybody touching me. Yeah. And so it's like honoring and understanding that too, that our bodies going to even the overstimulation. Sometimes it's just overstimulate, like our bodies physically can get overstimulated. And so mm-hmm. we have thresholds, and that threshold changes throughout the month in terms of how much stimulation we can tolerate and how much we can't. Mm-hmm. And just being able to communicate that. I do think for every couple, it probably is different.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And I think it's across mm-hmm. seasons of life, sometimes differently.
Yeah.
This is the time you're trying to have kids, or infertility time, or mm-hmm. time when you're in perimenopause. I think we have to keep exploring that when it shifts and talking it out together. And yeah. I like that you just normalize that it's okay to be in that phase where we say no to our partner, to mm-hmm. say, this is not the right time for me to be physically sexual with you. But there will be other times in our cycles where both yeah. of us, you know, whether it's the morning tonight, like you said, for guys, or for women to be able to say, now this is a time when we are really going to have more of a really special time together mm-hmm. because I'm really interested. And to explore, if you never hit that cycle point in your month, you know, what's happening for you? So that exactly. instead of just coming at it like, okay, well, we have to schedule it and force it, I'm really hearing you say, allow yourself to see what's going on. Are you yeah. all touched out, you know, so that you can yeah. find time together?
Yeah. No, I think that that's a great, like, even just to bring that up too, is like, there are lots of medical reasons why people mm-hmm. might not be attracted to their partner, or not attracted. That's not the right yeah. word, but like yeah. desiring to have sex yeah. or intimacy.
Yeah.
There might be medical reasons why that's happening. Mm-hmm. Right. And
oh,
so
yeah. thank you for bringing that science portion in, because people.
Yes. Yes. There's like an emotional weight that women are carrying a lot of times that might be impacting it. There's a physical component to it. There's a busyness component to it. There's a cycle component to it. Like, there's so many different layers and factors that I think what happens and is that the relationships and humans are so dynamic, and they're so multifaceted that we approach one thing, like same thing, going back to that buckets, we try to solve it by putting our energy into one bucket mm-hmm. instead of looking at, okay, if the sex area is the place that's struggling and we want to increase that, it's like, yeah. is the cycle the thing that's impacting it? Is it the hormones yeah. as a whole impacting it? Because yeah. there's a lot of women with hormonal imbalances. And when your hormones are imbalanced and you're not getting that feel, that drive, that urge,
yeah.
there may be something else going on. And how can we bring back that normal rhythm? And mm-hmm. because that normal rhythm is going to impact you, not just in your sex life, but it's going to help yeah. impact you mentally and emotionally, but also physiologically. Like, there's a lot of research coming out around like the actual hormone cycle impacting our cardiovascular mm-hmm. health and our bone mm-hmm. health and like all these things. So it's looking at from a bigger picture, how mm-hmm. can we lean into that? But maybe it's like, for me, a lot of times I'm like, I just am so tired from a day of like mm-hmm. juggling and going like, mm-hmm. there's no physical desire left. Like yeah. I'm just done, you know? Right. So it's looking at all of those different pieces of mm. how, and the cycle is just one piece of that. Like the yeah. cycle adds in one more layer mm-hmm. of, are we noticing that rhythm throughout the month, I guess is a good mm. way to put it.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you for helping us to see this less reductionistically as a culture. Because I think that's been one of our biggest problems, is we're just like, oh, they don't want me. That's a rejection. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, I was in a Zennial group the other day, because I'm end of Gen X, beginning of Gen or Millennial. And this group was saying, oh yeah, many of us women are hitting perimenopause and the men are having low T. And all these women started talking about it. Not one guy felt permission to chime in. And it's just harder, I think, for us to have these conversations when we're coming from that reductionistic space of, oh, he has a flaming sex drive forever, and so does she, and there's something yeah. wrong with you if you don't. But I also love how you're saying scientifically, there are steps we can take to normalize. Yeah. So this is where you come in and where people can leave off with you. So tell us what people will find when they come to your email system, when they come to your website, when they come to your Instagram, so that we can lead them in the direction. You have so much to share with us, Renee. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I predominantly work with women, helping them really master the way they work and how they're performing their work. And predominantly a lot of the women I work with are in business and building their own businesses and things. Mm-hmm. So really helping them understand, how do we leverage all of those different phases? How do we work in the best aligned way for them so that we're getting more done in less time, being able to take the week off if we want to take the week off, and whether it's actually just laying around the house, or if you want to schedule it a weekly vacation. Like I actually looked, I'm like, man, looking at my calendar, I'm like, I actually am scheduling a lot of weeks off, but there are weeks like vacations or going like traveling. Yeah. And so looking at what that looks like for you and what that design and desire for your business really looks like for how you want to build it around your life. So that's a big part of it. I do have a lot of stuff that's just like lots of just awareness and permission around your body. Really at the core of it, it's like helping women really learn to listen to their bodies and learn to listen to what's right for them and being okay with that. I will admit that cycle syncing and like leveraging your cycle is very countercultural. It's not something that's widely accepted at this point in time. Yeah. I get a lot of pushback actually from people that get really irritated and angry when I start talking about how women work differently. And so I think that it's one of those areas we're not seeing fully accepted yet, but I'm hoping like in the next generation or so that we'll see that completely shift. So it's now just helping empower and advocate for women to really, to see that and start leaning into that.
Oh, I'm so glad and hopeful. And I feel like you're working with people in the generation where it's starting to be, but like, I can see it with my 16 and 8-year-old daughters, like this artist generation, they are curating, they are nuancing. And they also understand something you said, very important today for those who are like, I need to hang on to the other system. Don't give me one more point behind men is yes, you can do it all anytime. Don't have a limiting belief, but also understand if you want to be extra empowered, you may find a really creative edge that others aren't doing when you do this in your relationships, especially why I reached out to you was I loved that you were doing it for business. So thank you, Renee. Where can we catch up with you on all of your websites and such?
My Instagram's my favorite place to hang out. So over there, it's just my first and last name. It's probably in the show notes.
Yes, it's in the show notes.
And then the same on my website is just reneefick.com. I do have the Cycle Advantage podcast, which is another great place to kind of check out. And those are probably the best places to find me there.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. You got to get on her email list. I love how you also add coaching and more. So thank you, Renee, for your wonderful time today.
Thanks so much. It was great.
Thank you. Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me today for this series with Renee. It was such a joy to have you with us. I hope you'll just allow yourself to pause and take one thing from today's episode to truly replenish and make plans for this month to enter into more of that sacred rest we talked about last week, but also that sense of, okay, I know when it's go time and I'm ready to use every different cycle season for purposes that I can help myself, my family, my marriage, my business. So yay, we're transitioning out of this episode series. And I'm so glad we spent time here together. And I thank you for joining me. Check everything out in the show notes from Renee too. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.